We'll begin with the very sad news from Offaly, and Women's Aid has called for zero tolerance of all forms of male violence against women in the wake of the tragic murder of Aisling Murphy. The 23-year-old primary school teacher was killed in a random attack during a run along the Grand Canal in Tullamore, County Offaly, on Wednesday afternoon. She's being remembered as a kind, popular and exceptionally talented by those who knew her. A man in his 40s was arrested in connection with the incident, but has since been released without charge, and Gardaí are appealing for more information. And with us now to talk about this are Dr. Siobhan O'Connor, who's the Manager of Services at Clarehaven Services, and Miriam Duffy, the Executive Director of Rape Crisis Midwest. And you're both very welcome to the programme. Siobhan, I'm going to go to yourself first on this. Such a tragic, tragic story and devastating news for the Murphy family, and it's really led to a palpable sense of fear and anger, I think, particularly amongst women across the country.
Well, I hope amongst everybody across the country, men, women and everybody, because violence against women is something that has been put up with. We have a very unusual or strange relationship with the concept of violence against women in this country. We ignore it, such as domestic violence calls being ignored by the guards. We tolerate it with minimal bail conditions of 200 euros for a horrendous assault there a few weeks ago in Dublin. We excuse it by telling women how to behave in order to avoid it, as opposed to telling men not to do it. We accept it. For example, in September 2021, a convicted murderer was given a suspended sentence after pleading guilty to assaulting his wife. So I hope the anger is across everybody within the country and not just women. And of course, the fear is there because the people of Tullamore and the people of Ireland now know that there is a violent murderer in our midst walking amongst us. But particularly for the people of Offaly and Tullamore, they know that this perpetrator is there, and feeling entitled to do this, and most potentially feeling entitled to do it again.
Yeah, I think Miriam, as well said by Siobhan, the anger should rightly and be felt by everybody. And you know, in just 1 week in Ireland, as Siobhan was alluding to some other incidents there, two men accused of assaulting a woman and leaving her with serious injuries were granted bail. And we have now a 23-year-old teacher, her whole life ahead of her, had only graduated a number of months ago, murdered in broad daylight while jogging on a path, which itself was named after Fiona Pender, who her childhood home was near that canal bank, and she went missing back in 1996. I guess just heightens the dangers that women face.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as Siobhan said, that anger is there in, I would hope again that anger is across all genders in the country. But from the women that I have been talking to over the last day or two, that what it is that sense of kind of fear and uncertainty has begun to creep into all of their lives. The women that I know that do run are kind of saying, God, it could have been me. I often run down such and such a place. You know, it's it is bringing that whole sense of realization of the dangers that women face on a daily basis home to everybody.
Yeah, you know, this is something that's been long standing, and I saw an interesting piece over a year ago at this stage in the Irish Times from Malachy Clerkin talking about how men had driven women away from exercising in public. And he was saying on social media in the wake of this very, very sad news about Aisling Murphy, that not one man in Ireland will think twice about his safety if he pulls on his runners today, but plenty of women will, which is an extremely sad, terrible state of affairs.
It is. And as Siobhan said, it's because it has become accepted almost the norm in society here and in other countries, that, you know, it is this whole, rather than doing something in stopping the perpetrators, the whole emphasis of is like, what can we do to keep women safe? So I remember, like, I've been a long time in this business, Alan, And I remember about 25 years ago, some interviewer was asking me, like, well, what can women do to keep themselves safe? And I said, well, look, if we all had an ivory tower, we could all live in the top of our ivory towers. But there are cherry pickers now. People will be able to get up at them too. You know, there is no safe place until society as a whole decides to keep women safe.
Yeah, and Siobhan, I'm sure in Clarehaven Services, some of the stories you hear from women, no doubt they're expressing fear, not just in relation to jogging or exercising, but in any number of seemingly everyday banal activities that should be taken as given that you can do them without worrying about your safety. I'm sure you're hearing anecdotally that there are a number of scenarios that they see potential danger in from men.
Well, I mean, that's it, Alan. I mean, we can't make rules for women. It's about men's behaviour. You know, we said no more when Claude Dehaw and Rachel O'Reilly were murdered in their homes. We expressed our shock when Justine Valdez and Oran Setsing Serendorge were murdered on their way to work and back. We were appalled when Lorraine O'Connor and Sharon Bennett were murdered in Ennis. You know, those six women, of the 244 women who have been murdered in this country since numbers began in 1996, were doing very different things. They come from very different backgrounds. They were experiencing very different lives, yet they all ended up being murdered by men. You know, we can't control what women do, and women shouldn't have to control what they do. Men need to take responsibility for male violence. Avi Smith was only talking last week in the Irish Times about where domestic violence and violence against women isn't a women's issue. It's actually a men's issue. It's a masculinity issue. It's for men to call out each other, for men to watch each other, for men to name it to each other, for men to stop doing it. You know, even with regards to the phrasing we use, you talk about violence against women, we talk about domestic violence. We should be talking about male perpetrated violence against women. We should be talking about women subjected to male perpetrated domestic abuse. But we've actually made the men invisible in these crimes, and they are crimes. It is not a man's entitlement to hurt and injure a woman. A woman should be able to do every single thing. Like you said, pull on her runners, go to work, be in her home. And she should be safe doing those things. She shouldn't be at risk of violence, assault, or death just by doing those everyday, ordinary things.
Miriam, Siobhan has named a number of women there who sadly lost their lives in tragic and terrible circumstances. And since 1996, the number of women who've died in violent circumstances in this country is 244, which is a shockingly high number. In terms of men addressing the issues that are here, does it take individual change on an individual basis from men in terms of changing the behaviour? Does it need men's groups to lead the charge or the change? Or how do we affect a sea change in this country in terms of men and their attitudes towards women?
I think it's something that's going to need to happen right across the board. Yes. In all of those areas that you've mentioned, individual men, certainly, men's groups, certainly, male-dominated organisations, yes. But that's not going to happen overnight, unfortunately. And if you like, is it going to be men's groups or individual men leading the charge, if you like? It's unlikely. So I think that it will probably, again, as most of this kind of work does, fall to the women's organisations like Clarehaven, like ourselves, who develop education programmes, work long and hard to bring about this societal change. I mean, one of the key things at the moment is, over the last 18 months, there was a national review of the sexual, gender, domestic, gender-based violence sector in the country. That review is with the government at the moment, and I would like to call on the government to actually sit down and either agree with it, sign it off, because there is a national strategy on violence against women about to be launched, and that's in abeyance as well until this sector review is signed off by the government, because the review has made a number of recommendations to forward the work on violence against women. And again, that will have resource implications for the organisations on the ground, but we need to be resourced better to get out into the community more. I mean, organisations like ourselves and Clare Haven, we're primarily dealing with survivors and victims, and that is core to our work. But because we are on a daily basis listening to what these women are telling us, we are the best place services to go out and educate the wider population as to what needs to happen, what needs to change. But we need to be resourced to do that.
Okay. Siobhan, just to go back to yourself, do you think the legal system in this country and the way in which women are treated as part of this system only helps perpetuate violence against women and reinforce that kind of victim-blaming culture? You know, it's certain instances where women are attacked, or you hear the line, well, you know, comments on what they were wearing as if they were asking for it, which is absolutely ridiculous notion.
Yeah, and that goes back to what Miriam spoke about as well. You know, we're constantly telling women what they should wear, where they should be. You know, we've had horrendous cases. You know, I suppose the Belfast rape trial is a prime example of where a woman's character, right down to the type of underwear she was wearing, were dissected and constructed and deconstructed in order to decide whether a man was guilty of committing a crime against her. You know, and very few crimes are the victims singled out and torn apart in order to decide whether, the perpetrator or the alleged perpetrator was guilty. And then the level of guilt associated with it is based on the behaviours or actions oftentimes of the woman. Or, you know, it's very few cases, I suppose, criminal cases, because very few crimes against women get into the criminal courts at all. A lot of it is managed in the civil courts and the family law. But even those that do, it's very few cases in criminal law whereby the victim is torn apart. It's normally the actions of the perpetrator that are assessed and judged. So there is those elements of it as well. And like you said, you know, I mean, that's why I named the different individuals. I mean, six of the 244, they were very different backgrounds. They were doing very different actions. They were very different ages. They were dressed in very different ways. The common denominator of those victims is that they are women. The common denominator of the perpetrators is that they are men. You know, and that's the only commonality: background, socioeconomic background, nationality. That's all almost irrelevant when we look at the common denominators. And the court systems, the legal systems, the social systems need to look at that. And if we look at the invisibility of women in positions of authority, the invisibility of women in decision-making posts, and as Miriam alluded to there, you know, the domestic and sexual gender-based violence sector are waiting for the men in power to take it on, to look at the review, to implement the change, to implement the policies, and to resource the policies. Our safety is at the behest of the hierarchy of priorities of the men in power, and you know, their social and societal decisions, who we put into power, what organisations we listen to, what organisations have control and have power over our education, over our health, over our social services, and they will determine the policies and priorities of the sector then.
And Siobhan, would you have concerns, or are you concerned about the level of violence that exists in Clare towards women and across the country in general?
Of course. I mean, the two of the women I named are from Clare, but we have had 9 women in Clare murdered at the hands of intimate or male perpetrators since 1996. You know, when Justine Valdez was just picked out and walking down the street and bundled into a car and murdered, every woman was worried then. Every woman of a particular stature was worried then, you know. When we see our 22, 23-year-olds, graduates, teachers going for a jog, being picked out and murdered, of course we're worried. And you know, there's nothing, Tullamore, I'm sure, is a very special place, but there's nothing special about Tullamore in this happening there.
Yeah.
This could happen along any riverbank. It could happen along, this was a public area. This wasn't a hidden area. It wasn't an isolated area. This was a public area. And this man felt entitled, we don't know the gender of the perpetrator. This person, the murderer, felt entitled to assault and kill this woman. There's many more people in our society who have that same sense of entitlement. Sometimes they keep their violence for their intimate partners or their children in the homes. Sometimes they take it out of the homes and they act on it in public spaces.
Yeah, and indeed, as you mentioned in the homes, Siobhan, the majority of homicide incidents in women, 87% of women killed have been killed by a man known to them. But just to go to yourself, Miriam, on that and to finish, do you have concerns about the level of violence towards women that exists in Clare?
I certainly would. I mean, as I say, we have a service operating in Clare and there is a waiting list for it, you know, so it's, and again, to kind of echo what Siobhan was just talking about, in that horrific and all as this recent murder, Aisling's murder was, it is the exception rather than the norm for women that are murdered, as you say. So the vast majority of women in Ireland that are murdered by somebody that is known to them. It is not that kind of isolated, random attack by a stranger. And I think when women realise that, you know, the level of fear and uncertainty in their lives increases. So, you know, it triggers so much in so many women. Like, our helpline has been ricocheting all since this murder. It has triggered an awful lot of stuff in so many people.
Okay, Miriam, thank you so much for joining us. Miriam Duffy, Executive Director of Rape Crisis Midwest, and a big thank you to Dr. Siobhan O'Connor, Manager of Services at Clare Haven Services.